to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located up at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them if you're looking for a new John Deere or got an old John Deere needs to be worked on. They can do it all up there. They got a great inventory right now of tractors, implements, mowers, Z mowers. They got a lot of inventory. They're looking to move it. They got 0% financing right now. Go up and see them or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can catch them on the web at Pape Machinery.
.com.
There you go. Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome, Bill. I thought you had me, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. So we're back with our guest, Mark Herr. And Mark is with the Center for Self-Governance. You can find them at Center for Self-Governance. .com, Mark? I didn't write it down.
Here.com.
Here.com.
Every now and then. I almost want to sing it.
.com. I know, we do too. I put links to your site on our page for the day. Today would be the 8th of January, 2023.
Man, already.
I know, isn't it weird? So we had to roll an archive for January 1st. Just so happened Christmas and New Year's fell on Sunday, so, you know, no engineers. So we haven't been here for a few weeks, and so now we're back doing live shows again. But
awesome.
For people who want to connect with that, maybe don't have a pen, you're driving or whatever you're doing, you can find that online. And just to let people know, too, our archives stretch way back to, like, 2010. You are welcome to do whatever you like with those shows, whatever is helpful for you. If you want to, we also have video on there, too. So some of those shows, Robert ran video on them. If you want to use them for your group, if you want to burn them on CDs or sell them, we don't care. You know, to use them to raise money for your local Patriot group. You can do whatever you like. We're not coming after you. We do this as a service for the public. So please make use of the archives. Robert will take out the free enterprise moments in the shows. And so you have uninterrupted listening, and we hope you make use of it. All right, Mark. We successfully blew through an hour fiddling around and doing some business, but it's like it always goes faster than you think.
Right.
What is something that you just want to make sure that we don't miss? We should start there and then go for it. I know. There's like
a
zillion
things. Pandora's box. But for sure, the first thing that we don't want to miss is that the qualifications for self-government in our culture, they're not natural. They're the result of habit and long training. It doesn't come naturally to you, and it's something that you learn. And this is my experience. I'm talking to myself. These last 13 years, because I got involved in politics by asking that question, what is self-governance and how do we self-govern? And it was because I was watching people like panicking politics. I think we had a new president. It was the TARP bailouts of 2008, and then President Obama got elected. Yep. Like he's, you know, everyone, it's just, I'm
that was
watching.
That was when I came. You and I both, I think, had the epiphany at the same time. Like, wait a second, this train's running away without us.
Yeah, and then my next experience was I got labeled a white supremacist. I'm like, what? Huh? And I'm looking over my shoulder, like, who are you talking about? You know? And I'm like, so I woke up in this world of politics that just seemed so. It was just so foreign and. Anyways, self-governance is that very, I don't want to miss that. It's the key to unlock your success in your personal life, your business life, and then your public, you know, whether it's social or political or whatever. And I believe that politics overlaps all of that. But self-governance is the starting point. I can't stress that enough. Without the habit of and practice of self-government in our culture, our system of government is going to be all direction, left, right, blue, red, and no balance.
Right.
No balance between those who are controlling our system and those of us who are controlled by it. We get left out of the picture. Parents get labeled terrorists. Ranchers get shot in the back. I mean, all kinds of the crazy things.
Right? Well, and people want, they act sometimes like these guys are electing each other. And it's like,
yes,
you know, we have bad representatives, not because they're electing each other, but because they have constituents who elect them. And we can, you know, we can look at the whole election thing. But bottom line, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, those are the ones they want term limits for. But it isn't going to help because their constituents like that.
Well, yeah. And their base of voters are trained to receive low doses of information that are quick, and it's like a bag of chips instead of a bag of healthy food, right? They're trained in Skittles. They're not trained in healthy.
Yeah.
And self-governance is healthy. It's hard. It requires commitment on your part to recognize several different principles of self-governance in order to be an effective leader in your community. And our country can't survive without not just the self-governance of doing what I want, the other half of it, the self-governance of governing myself first before trying to govern you. And so that's the, I you asked me, you know, what should we not miss? That to me is always, I come back to that as the very first step in our journey as a nation, as a culture, in your community, in your home, in your business, in your personal relationships. Self-governance is the key. It's the key to unlock success in growing liberty together, whether I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican. It's also
the only way that we ever arrive at solutions, because
correct.
If it's all about I have to have more guys than you have, which, yes, it does come down to that in some things.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
Things swing just wildly. I like it. So I put the three blue blocks that are on your main, your homepage of your site. And so, like, the vision of your organization, Center for Self-Governance vision, is the advancement of a resilient, stabilized, and self-governing civil society. So unless you're, you know, Antifa and you're just looking for some anarchy out there, who, you know, you should have a difficult time finding somebody who would disagree with that. That should be a problem. And then when it says who we are, I like it. Center for Self-Governance is a nonprofit, nonpartisan educational organization uniquely dedicated to the advancement of, one, a stable civil society. What a great idea. Two, balanced human government. And three, a well-educated and highly participating populace. And
that's the tough
and
one.
And there you go. That's the kicker. So, you know, then, I mean, it's really easy to figure out what you guys are up to, because then you look at the mission. So if you want a well-educated and highly participating populace, it's like, oh, well, what do these guys have? So developing political leaders in the systematic politics layer cake of federalism by increasing your political influence, improving your networking skills, and expanding your personal growth and development. Not by becoming a big bloviating gas bag and pushing everybody around. That isn't actually on the list. I checked. In no place on that list did it say bloviating gas bag.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need any more bloviating gas bags.
No, right? No, we're really full up.
Well,
you should get that. We should get that as a, like a little logo with like a red circle and a line through it.
Bloviating, no more. Yeah, no big circle, line through it. Bloviating gas bags.
No more bloviating gas bags. You just
right.
Stop running.
It.
We're not electing you.
Yes,
but it's really important, because a lot of times, like we saw with the speaker's race, right? We want somebody else. But I'm sorry, what were the choices again?
Right.
Right.
And from a political, you know, learning how to be competitive as human beings, you know, we have our bell curve of participation, as you guys are pointing out. But ultimately, the next piece we don't want to miss after we kind of discuss what is self-governance, how do I do it, is what is our system of government, and how do we work together to make it work better? In this is something that spans history. So I'm just going to go back to the colonies for a second in 1600s, Massachusetts. The Puritans, which was a group of, you know, religious folks, controlled the government of Massachusetts. And there's another religious group called the Quakers. And they did not agree on how you should be a Christian. So the Puritans controlled the government. And what they did was they weaponized the government by labeling the Quakers heretics and witches. And then under that condition, they were able to take their property, beat them in public, or worse, execute them, just on the basis that they didn't share the same belief system. And that's what we're facing, and that's the kind of the thing I really want to stress beyond the self-governance here, is what we don't want to miss is that we are in danger as a culture of repeating that history, because it's not just the Quakers and the Puritan paradox. The Spanish did this in the Catholic Church with the Inquisition. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did this with Jesus by manipulating the democracy to release a criminal, and by manipulating Pilate to execute Jesus. So there's nothing new under the sun here, and that's really important for people to realize. By ignoring it, you're not actually making things better in the future for your kids. By participating and preventing the weaponization of labels in government, you are actually doing something for your kids that has spanned human history. It's history and human nature to weaponize labels against our opponents, take control of the government and turn it into a weapon to take their property, censor them, cancel them, collude with Twitter, right?
Yeah.
To collude with Facebook. You understand what I'm saying? To then weaponize our systems that were designed to protect us, not from being white supremacists, but to protect us from the ravages of being oppressed by white supremacy, or the ravages of being oppressed by elitists who are controlling Twitter. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the same human nature, whether it's Puritans, Quakers, technocrats, or Kevin Kleinsmith, the former FBI attorney in October of 2016, who said, "I have initiated the destruction of the Republic." And he's, like, proud of it, right? And he goes, "I never really liked the Republic anyway." And I'm like, That's not treason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But it's indicative of the systemic problem that when you weaponize labels and you weaponize government, it doesn't matter whether it was the 1600s or Jesus or whoever it was. It doesn't matter. It's human nature to weaponize labels and government when you're not self-governing, and it turns into a weapon, and you end up doing some of the things we're doing now to our fellow citizens. And I really encourage, for your kids' sake, participate in stopping the weaponization of labels in government. And they can visit our website /PWOL for more information on how to do that.
Yeah.
Or how to get involved in that.
I think honestly, because people think, oh, I don't want to get involved in that, it's going to take too much time. It's like, well, when you kind of put that, when the backdrop is all the time you spend worrying about it, being mad about it, shaking your fist at the television set or whatever your medium is, you might as well just get involved.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Involved. You just don't know it.
And find a productive way to do it. Yeah. I'm excited. So talk a little bit. Well, dang it.
Well, the thing that...
We got like a minute left again before the break. God bless America.
Well, that's a great song.
But that is. It's a snazzy song. And you're supposed to take your hat off and put your hand over your heart. Just a little
That's
FYI.
Right.
We'll do a little training here.
There we go.
Nothing annoys me more than there they all are, their hats on, sitting down. You're like, no. The training that you guys do, and you make that available all over the country. You guys do Zoom and travel.
And that's so important because, when you get back to the 6 out of 10 again, so many people, and I would wager to say a lot of people that think they know how it works, they don't know how our government works. They don't know the three branches of government. They don't know what those three branches do. They don't. There's so much they don't know, and so then when they hear these stories in the media, you know, they're flying off the handle, but they really don't understand what's really going on. You know, when we say they're weaponizing the FBI and the DOJ, I don't think they really understand what that means.
That's exactly right. And that's the key, is you can only see it or feel it. And it's not. It's another thing to talk about the theory of it in a classroom, right? But people don't do things because they're just. I mean, there's a few nerds, right? But most people are like, they're not going to do anything until they feel it or see it.
That's right.
And then that has value.
Yeah.
And I can talk about that when we.
Well, I've always said that so much of this stuff is not an issue to people until it hits them in the pocketbook, and that's exactly what's happening now. Is they can't afford gas, they can't afford food, they can't afford housing. It's hitting them in the pocketbook, and I think now is just such a good time to get people involved, get people educated, let them figure out why all this is happening, and
you
step up and
you
get involved.
You can't fix it if you don't know how it works.
Exactly, exactly.
Big proponent of figure out how it works so you can see.
Yeah, I love the guys that want to change everything, and they you ask them a couple of questions, and it's, oh, okay, you really don't understand what's going on here, do
yeah,
you?
Unlikely to be part of the solution.
Exactly.
Got to take a really quick break. We're here with Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
And if you ain't going to fight, get out of the way, 'cause freedom makes so free when you breathe red and white and blue. I'm giving all of myself. How about you? And they call me warrior. They call me loyalty.
Would that it were real, and the real world would stop hassling us. So, Mark, if people have a group of folks in their area and they're thinking, you know, we're all mad, but we're not ready. You know, we're not in a position to really make a big change, and we'd like to get smarter about this and be focused. How do they connect up with you guys, and what do they need to do?
First is. Obviously, you just go to our website, centerforselfgovernance.com. They can reach us at our office number or email address, and that's listed on the website on the front page in the very bottom. It's just office number, email address. I believe the phone number is 615-669-8274, I believe, and the info at tncsg.org. So as they go through and they look through the trainings that we offer, we're kind of like In-N-Out Burger. There's an animal-style, animal-style menu. You have to know it's there. But
sure.
But the classes that are listed there are what value brings to your community. So, for example, if you are looking to learn about the structure of government, whether it's school, city, county, even your state, there's this other nebulous thing called regional. We have two-hour classes on each one of those. They can request the class that's best suiting their community. Our leadership and self-governance series is a little bit more involved. There's training exercises. There's prerequisites. You know, you go from block one. You do some stuff. You have to accomplish some things, and you graduate that program. That program is our how do you bake layer cake and marble cake back into the culture. It's kind of the higher level. The structure class is more for people who are just like, how does it work? I don't really understand it. And then we're starting to branch out into there's a lot of folks that are joining the political parties. And so we teach just, you know, basic things like Robert's Rules of Order, bylaws, how all that stuff works. You know, if you're going to knock on a door, you know, what's etiquette? There's etiquette there, and how do you respond to certain things? So if they want to learn those kind of things at that level, we teach those as well. And really it comes down to self-governance. We have a foundation in self-governance training that we're going to be releasing by video this year, probably in the next month or two, that is exclusively about self-governance itself. What is it? How do we self-govern from our Center for Self-Governance perspective? And that'll be released within the next month or two, so stay tuned for that. And then also our last thing, for those who are in the kind of the faith-based world, we've kind of studied the various faiths and have come up with a biblical origins of self-governance class for those folks from that community that want to understand how it relates to their faith and self-governance. And then the foundations in self-governance, which I just explained, will be released in a month or two. And then our structure of government classes, how does government work for various levels. And then our leadership in self-governance training for those who want to, go a little bit further and develop their leadership skills in their community, whether they get elected or not.
Hmm. Nice. And you guys have, I was just scrolling through YouTube, and you have a bunch of video on there, too.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I just made a documentary called The Final Verdict, Episode 1, the Oregon Trials. And let me unpack that a little bit. So our primary mission is all that training for individuals and empowering them. That's our main objective. One of the waypoints on our journey ended in April 12th, or began, I guess I should say, but I stopped at this place in Bunkerville, Nevada. It's literally the middle of Nowhereville, Nevada. And it was a conflict over land policies between federal agents and ranchers. And on April 12, 2014, it culminated with 19 states worth of people showing up to support this ranching family that had their cows confiscated related to grazing fees. And so there's just this struggle, this epic day where you had snipers on a hill, you had federal agents well-armed, you had protesters with kids, moms, horses, dogs, and cowboys and militia people, and then you had regular people who were just driving on their way through the interstate. You know, they're just passing. So, and you had media. You had everybody. You had America showed up that day. It was epic, you guys. And I wasn't there for the protest because I had a dog in the fight. I was there because my class was canceled, and one of my students said, "Hey, you want to go to this rally?" I called our co-founder, Center for Self-Governance, co-founder Michelle Perkins, say, "Hey, should I do this? I don't even know what this is about." So I didn't have internet, so she researched it, called me back. She's like, "Yeah, you definitely need to go. Make sure you film it. Stay safe. Don't get hurt." And I'm like, "What in the heck are you sending me to?" And it turned into this standoff. Like, they were literally pointing guns at each other. And I'm like, people are going to die. What the hell am I, excuse my language, what the heck am I doing here? Like, what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I looked over the concrete barrier because I was hiding. I was like, what in the heck, man? These people are about to, they're going to die, and they're not well-armed. There's like 7 people on the protester side with guns, and there's like hundreds of armed federal agents, and they were ready. They were like, wow. And I looked over the concrete barrier, you guys, and I see a deputy sheriff walk in the middle with a colleague of his. And everything from that moment forward de-escalated. And I could not believe my eyes. I was like, everybody from America is here. Everything. Regular people, media, armed federal agents, county law enforcement, protesters, militia, you name it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this sheriff walks in the middle deputy sheriff, and it starts to de-escalate. Everybody goes home. Nobody dies. No one went to prison that day. I got to tell you, I'm just from an experienced guy in the previous military, and then the political side of things. I'm like, wow. And so I took my clips and I started using that in our training to show people. I'm like, I don't know how else to tell you the theory. You know how it is, you guys. Like, people like theory and their eyeballs roll back in their eyes, right? And they just fall asleep and they're snoring and they're like, okay, take me to Waffle House bar. I'm ready.
Exactly.
You know, but I had on video, I had all of it. And so I was using the video. I was showing the federal agents. I was showing the deputy sheriff. And I was showing the angry protesters and the media. You know, I was just showing the regular people who were just trying to travel somewhere. You know, and I'm like, you guys, in my class, this is how the system looks on video, and nobody died. Anyway, people from around the country in my classes were saying, you need to turn this into a documentary. And so, anyway, long story short, I made a documentary called the Governed v. Governing series, part one, the Bundy standoff. It's on our YouTube channel. It's on our Vimeo on demand channel. And we made DVDs. So if somebody wants it, they can email us and ask and we'll just send it to them. That opened up a Pandora's box So these same characters, okay, I don't even know where to go. So I ended up hiring this guy who just got his master's degree in film back in 2015 or so, early 2016, and he agreed to make it. He didn't know anything about anything, and we just did a premiere of part three, and he was there as kind of our co-director along with another guy from South Carolina, and we broadcast it nationwide and even reached into Taiwan and Japan with our part three. Anyway, so I'm like, Jeremiah is the guy who made Bundy Standoff on our YouTube channel, and he's like, I didn't know any of this stuff. He has his own political background and beliefs and faith and all that stuff, and he's like, I knew none of this. And he was telling his story about making this first film for us. And I'm like, I'm just a witness, guys. And I've gotten labeled, you know, anti-government because I made the film. I've been labeled,
of course,
you know, I'm a domestic terrorist. I'm like, I'm so not that guy. You know what I mean? I'm not going to strap bombs and come kill you because we disagree on something. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
I want to do this. What you and I are doing, I want to do, if possible, with everybody, if possible, figure out how not to do the Puritan Quakers thing. And these same characters, Aaron, they took over this refuge in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, in 2016. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm watching this unfold. These people, someone's going to die this time, and some people are going to go to prison. It's not going to be the same outcome. So I told Jeremiah, we've got to make a film about this. And it was all about this ranching family. They were domestic terrorists and burning fields. And it's a long story. But I got a phone call from the widow of one of the people who got killed at that event. And if you don't know about that story, we made a film called Lavoie Dead Man Talking. And it's about the rancher who was shot and killed. And he tells the story of why he went there. And it turns out, I didn't even know this, he was at the Bunkerville thing in 2014. And I filmed that guy on his horse. I'm like, hey, where are you going? And he wouldn't answer me. I was like,
oh, no kidding.
I was like, what is going on? And then they're taking over the refuge, and I'm like, someone's going to die. And sure enough, he was killed, Lavoie Finicum. And then people went to prison. 27 people went to prison. And I got a call from the widow, and she's like, will you speak at his memorial? I'm like, no way. We didn't support taking over federal refuges and breaking. I'm not anti-government. You know what I mean? And that's how the media labeled these guys. They were anti-government, domestic terrorists, right-wing extremists, white supremacists, hate groups. You name the label. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, they're going to die. People are going to prison. The media is labeling them. She calls me, will you speak at his memorial 6 months later? And I'm like, I don't think so. But it was one of our board members was in connection with their family somehow, and he recommended that she come to CSG to learn about self-governance and how our system works. And I said, well, and she's like, well, you don't understand. You can disagree with us, but that's okay. And I'm like, it is? What? You're okay with that? And she's like, yes, my husband was not anti-government. I'm like, well, that's not what the media said. You know what I mean? And I'm like, it doesn't look that way when you take over a federal refuge. You know what I mean? That's a terrible strategy if you want to make change. In my opinion, this is my opinion now. I'm talking Mark here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, she's okay with us disagreeing to have a conversation. Huh, that's interesting. And she said my husband was about training people. And I get choked up about this because I went to the board, the CSG board, and I said, you know, they've asked us, and we're not anti-government and everything they got labeled. We're none of those things. And if we go speak, we're going to be aligned with them, right? That's how they're going to be painted. And they're like, well, no, if you are very clear about our position as an organization, that's not what we support. We don't do those things. We have training. We learn how to be self-governing, blah, blah, blah. And so they gave me permission, and I started researching his YouTube channels, and there's 9 hours of his videos on YouTube, and none of them have been taken down. Oh. No censorship. And the reason why is because they want to make sure, that YouTube wants to make sure that you know what a right-wing, white supremacist, anti-government person looks like. And so as I was going through his videos, I'm like, huh, well, yeah, okay, huh. And I'm not being radicalized by this guy. I'm like, this is not what the media said about the guy. What the guy's saying and what they're saying, they're not matching. And I'm telling the board, and we're communicating back and forth, and I'm like, what they're saying, what the media said about this guy and what he said is not the same thing. So I prepared my speech, and when I got there, I meet the family, and I'm like, I'm asking them hard questions, like white supremacy and anti-government, domestic terror. I'm asking them all that stuff, you know what I mean? And I got to tell you guys, that family is nowhere close to anything that they were labeled. Nothing.
No.
Not a single label applies to that family. 12 kids, 40 plus grandkids, 60 plus high risk foster kids that they were authorized and licensed to care for as a family. That's a hell. They're a hell of a family. Excuse my language again. That's a hell of a family.
Hell. Yeah. I mean, well, we don't like hell, but we like saying it.
I get emotional about it because not because I'm radicalized by anything about taking over federal buildings and being anti-government, not even close.
No, but when you see people pushed to a point where they do something that upends their life and that of other people, it's like, okay, there's got to be a better way, but they felt like they didn't have any choices.
Yeah, and that's the same way that some of the grassroots people of Black Lives Matter feel too, like Angelique Kearse from Brooklyn, whose husband died in the back of a police car, and he was begging for help on the video, and he died at the hands of law enforcement. And I introduced Jeanette Finicum and Angelique Kearse together, and they both looked at each other, and they're like finding out that neither one of them are what they thought they were. And let me come back to the memorial. I read my speech. When I got up to speak, I said, I love the federal government. We need the federal government. I'm not anti-government. And I kept reading my speech, and people started booing me and walking out and rolling their eyes, and Jeanette and her 3 daughters were weeping. And it was at that moment, you guys, I realized the media had labeled this guy white supremacist, anti-government, hate group, domestic terrorist, right-wing extremist. And the supporters were walking out on his very quotes. Those were his quotes. I was quoting him. And this really taught me a huge lesson about our culture, that we really need to take the time to find out what each other means as a culture. What do you mean? You know, Lavoie Finicum, Angelique Kearse. You know, what do you mean, Aaron? You know, we don't take that time anymore. We just become chess pieces.
Nope, it's like find the label, slap it on, and then put you in the box.
Well, yeah, there's two camps. You know, you're in one or you're in the other.
And if you try to talk reason, you're a rhino, this or that.
Yeah, you're all, you name it. And I was looking at these weeping women. There's 3 daughters and Jeanette Finicum, and I'm looking at them going, and the family has to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
And so I went to Jeremiah, the director of Part One, the Bundy standoff, and I said, you know what? I think we need to scrap the entire what we were going to do, the way we were going to make the film. And I think we should make the film about Lavoie Dead Man Talking. And that's what we did, 4 episodes. And he tells the story from his YouTube videos. he tells the story why he went to Bunkerville in 14, why he was having a conflict with the BLM and the FBI and the sheriff and the Cattlemen's Association in 2015 in Arizona, and why he went to Oregon in 2016. And then in his own words, you literally have him up to the moment that he's killed in his own words in our film. And this has been a way of helping this family, the Finnecombe family, pick up the pieces, because they just wanted America to know who this guy was,
right,
and let him tell the story. And I'm like, and yes, people did die. People did go to prison. That's what part three is about. And that's what our premiere was the Oregon trials, everybody who went to prison after Lavoie was killed. And they tell the story of what happened to them in prison. And you get a picture of the criminal justice system that our side doesn't understand, like Black Lives Matter. And I'm not talking about the organizers who are using them as chess pieces.
Right,
I'm
right,
talking about the Angelique Kearse pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've been trying to say for decades about the criminal justice system and how they're being disproportionately affected and stuff like that. And it really brings it into picture that this is our opportunity. And I tried to stress this on our premiere nationwide. We had Epic Times, New American, NTD, Jeanette Finnecombe streamed it from her website. Oh, just so we had thousands and thousands of views. It was crazy how many people viewed and got to hear this story. And it wasn't about justifying what they did. That was the amazing part.
It was about telling the story of how they got there, right? Like,
yes.
Like how you wind up in that spot that you never intended to be in.
And what the outcomes were.
We have to take a really quick break, Mark.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
No. I was just going to say, this one, they didn't go to jail and nobody died. And this one, people died and went to jail. And this is what happened after the fact. And this is our system of government. And I asked the question at the end of the film, what is your final verdict? I asked whoever's watching the film, what's your final verdict? Do you want innocence until proven guilty, or guilty until proven innocent? Like the Puritan Quaker paradox. They literally would drown them. And if you died, you weren't guilty. Well, that's a great way to end.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Right? Bonus.
Yeah.
That's kind of the genesis of the films.
Veering back toward, say, I grew up in the East. And Salem Witch Trials, you spend a lot of time on that when you live right near there. And it is interesting, the parallels, because you see it. You see that mob mentality on both sides. Mob mentality is bad. I don't care who's having it. Nobody's mob is better than somebody else's.
Whether it's Jesus
mob
or the Puritans, you got it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, really quick break. We'll come back. Our guest is Mark Kerr with the Center for Self-Governance. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
And I can never understand why. Dirt and grease on his hands, driving home at sundown, making just enough to get us by. When I left home, I swore I'd make it rich some other way. I didn't know where I was going, but my dad would always say, pray out loud, make us proud, and son, don't forget where you come from. People just like you. My hair's turning white, my neck's always been red, colors still blue. We've always been here, just trying to sing the truth to you. Guess you could say we've always been red, white, and blue.
And isn't that the point, right? Not what
I just want to keep playing it, man. I'm like, yes.
I know.
Cut me off.
And go to the Waffle House bar.
Yeah, we need to. We're due. We're all due for another Waffle House episode that doesn't involve the chairs. They probably now have the benches that are glued to the floor. Yeah, they're like, we're not going to have those loose chairs anymore. That's a huge mistake. And then since you've done this film, I would imagine the January 6th thing is beckoning.
Oh, yeah. The overlap is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because they went from 27 arrestees arrested in 2016 to 960 plus because of the so-called January 6th insurrection. I don't know if you guys are seeing the breaking news in Brazil, but the Bolsonaro supporters have stormed their capital, et cetera. And the media here in the U.S. is, you know, yeah, it's just January 6th and Trump and supporters and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, if that was the case, you guys, then the people that were coercing and intimidating Supreme Court justices over the Dobbs decision would have been arrested and have pretrial indefinite detention as well. But because it's related to those who are controlling the system and have weaponized those labels, those people haven't been arrested, right? But the January 6th people, because you were trying to coerce and intimidate the election results, that's a lot more serious, not as serious as intimidating Kavanaugh or Gorsuch or whatever at their homes, or Barrett at their homes, trying to intimidate their decision regarding Dobbs. That's not as serious.
No, you know, no. It's against the law, but we don't need to enforce that. It's not that important.
And that's the point of our films, is that equal application of law should apply to all Americans.
Yeah.
Not some, and not for very disproportionate reasons. And I think that's kind of the case that people like Angelique have been making for decades, is that disproportionate application of the law is a problem in our justice system, and we're trying to make that case and bring that dialogue and discussion to the table through these films.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to sit down at the table, and it's got to affect all. It has to be applied to all. And that's
well, I just think we're in such deep trouble right now with the FBI and DOJ getting away with what they're doing, and I think our inability to stop that or reverse that course. I mean, it can be done, but at what cost?
It just makes people feel like they're drifting.
Well, yeah, it's not equal justice anymore.
And I don't think anybody, you know, even if you were on the other team, you could show how your guys really got away with all sorts of stuff.
Well, and that's kind of the takeaway from this, is that to be self-governing is to realize that if you give me the controls of government and I become addicted to that influence and control, I'll become the very thing I hate, even though you like my policies.
Yep.
And so that's the one piece, I think the one ingredient that we want to bring to the table, to the American culture in this conversation is the system matters because it's supposed to be designed to prevent the growth of slow growth of oppression and the frequent and increasing intensity of chaos, and to balance those two things. So I feel like our films have been, I mean, it was amazing. Our premiere, it was amazing to have our directors on there, to have panelists who had been involved in those things, and the conversations that we had. Some of it was kind of off the rails into conspiracy land, but it was okay because it's okay for us to have those stinking conversations.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I learned from Jeanette, was that we can disagree. It's okay. You know what I mean? And that really helped me kind of break through on people can say I'm aligned with them and I'm an anti-government thing, and that's not my point at all. It has nothing to do with the point of the story. It's that we need to come to the table and figure out how to make the system work better for everyone.
Yeah.
And whether it's the issues, that's one thing, but the system itself is another thing. And anyway, I'm excited. I'm actually encouraged, quite frankly. I am very optimistic because of the number of whistleblowers that are popping up from the DOJ and the FBI. What this select committee does in terms of bringing light to the non-government organizations that are colluding with our federal government to weaponize labels. And I think it brings us to the table, those of us who've been victimized, regardless of who you are, your opportunity to create a one-page affidavit of why it happened and how it happened to you, succinct language as you can, and get it to your congressman and send it to this select committee. Because it's not just, you know, we might, you know, if you lean one way, you say, well, it's affecting me more. Okay, fine. But we don't want it to affect anyone in this way,
right?
Well, I think
that's the key.
Because everybody can't fix it like John Duarte did. you know, crushed by the Army Corps of Engineers for all those years and all the fines and all that stuff. So he decided to run for Congress.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a lot of fun with his oversight responsibilities. But not everybody can go at them like that. And I know you're in Washington, and your guys are as crazy as ours. So between the federal government and the state government.
We're worse than you guys.
You think?
But, you know, I mean, oh, yeah, we're superiorly worse. But you know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm making a joke about, well, who's got it worse than the other,
but,
you know what I mean?
But the thing is, when your state government doesn't offer you any sort of relief, and they're coming after you the same way the federal government is, people who live in those states are kind of losing their grip.
Well, you shouldn't be afraid of your government, and
no.
we are in that position right now where we're going to have to choose a hill to die on, and you will die on that hill because our government's not helping us.
Well, the good news is if we all stand up at the same time, they can't get us all.
Well, remember these kind of these key things. We had the largest turnover in U.S. history in school boards.
Yeah.
And we're talking moms and dads across the United States. Number two, you have the Judiciary Chairman, Jim Jordan, received our paper in 2019 on the political weaponization of labels by one of your county chairmen who just recently passed away last year. And I'm going to give his name because it's because of him that the paper I wrote on behalf of Center for Self-Governance regarding the weaponization of labels, which is on our website /PWOL, four letters, PWOL, I wrote a paper. It's a 68-page paper, and I am – let's just say that Jim Jordan read that paper, and the entire basis, the seed that we planted that our government has been weaponized is based on the content and information from that paper and many other things. So we're not taking any sort of 100% credit. What I'm crediting is Don Dix. He just recently passed last year. Riverside County GOP chairman. Was at a fundraiser, and he's on the phone with me, and he goes, "Mark, I'm standing next to Jim Jordan. I have your paper in a manila envelope. Do you want me to hand it to him?"
No, I want you to put it in the mail.
Yeah, send it through the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a no-brainer, Don. And he's like, "I just wanted to make sure with you first, Mark. Do you want this to happen?" I'm like, "Don, this is a no-brainer. It is so critical that somebody understands the mechanisms and the infrastructure for weaponizing labels, because it's not just happening in our lifetime. It's happened throughout human history. And that's true progress is when we stop it. That is progressivism. To stop what human nature does and repeats over and over again. When I get in charge and I love my influence more than your liberty,
yep,
I will weaponize government and label you and then take your stuff, beat you, and kill you. Anyway, so Don Dix deserves all the credit. And I know that Jim Jordan has read through that paper because of his language. That language comes from our paper. And I'm not taking any credit at all. What I'm saying is we simply plant seeds, and you don't have to be an elected official to make change. We need elected officials to make change, but you don't have to be an elected official to make change. I can plant seeds in 2019 and watch them bear fruit. And when I read his House Resolution 118, Select Committee on the weaponization of the federal government and the content of what's in there and what they're going to investigate, I had to stop. I had to get on my knees, and in my faith, my personal faith, I had to thank my God and give him 100% of the credit. So Don Dix, God, and we can band together, whether we're faith-based or not faith-based, and we can come to the same conclusions and have disagreements and yet work together to make our system work right. We can literally. I've seen it. I could go on and on. I can almost feel like a preacher at this point. But what I'm saying is that
an
epic moment happened this past Friday night, Aaron, where
that's awesome.
We premiered.
Can you send me the links to that so people can tie in and watch that after the fact?
Yeah, I'll send you the intro. The film is not going to be. We premiered it. We're going to be releasing it.
Okay, we'll add it. How about this? We'll add it when you have it, and we're having you back on. We are out of time. Oh, we gotta run away. But thank you so much for coming on with us, Mark Kerr from the Center
Absolutely,
for Self Governance.
Yeah, it's been great. I've enjoyed connecting.
Thanks.
Waffle House bars next time.
Absolutely. We'll talk again soon.
For good.